Good morning. Hands up who's seen me before. Hands up who hasn't seen me before. And who doesn't really care if they've seen me before. And that they reckon most speakers in training in the Anglican Church pass through this church twice in their career. Once on the way up and once on the way down. It's great to be back. It really is. I don't know if you can tell by my accent where I'm from. I'm from a little fishing village up north called Liverpool. You've heard of it. It's a great place. I was there as a child for many, many years. And they interviewed them recently, asking them, you know... I mean, if you're a Scouser, you can take the mickey out of Scousers, can't you? And they said to them, you know, with all that's going on in Europe, should we join the Euro? And they said they're happy with the gyro, which I thought was interesting. Now, actually, the Scousers laugh more at that than anybody else. Because they. Anyway, it's great to be here. It's great to be working. I want to show you something, if I may. I have a pack of cards here. And I've just actually opened them. They're all different cards. And the great thing about this sort of stuff is we get to choose a volunteer to help. And I want someone who's good-looking, handsome, and debonair. So, do you know anybody in the room? Would you help me out? I have a pen here. Would you just take the pen? I'm just going to move slowly for the camera, sir. And what I'd like you to do is, as I just go... In fact, while you're there with a pen, why don't you come up? That's better, isn't it? There he is. Would you stand here? Married or happy?
I am.
Perfect. Too well rehearsed, that answer for me. They reckon when two people get married, two become one, and after the honeymoon, you find out which one, don't you?
Yeah.
It's true, isn't it? All right, look, I've got the cards here. I'm just going to try and produce an ace if I can. I'll show you how we produce different cards. That's the ace, yeah? That, and that is the ace of...
Hearts?
No, it's actually a spade. But if you hold on to that, would you sign it for me, sir, please?
I can do that.
We'll take out the next ace like this. There. And I'm going to give that to you and
Thank
ask you.
You
to delegate somebody to sign the Ace of Hearts to me. So you go down, pick anyone you like, choose the Ace of Hearts. This lovely lady here is going to sign the Ace of Hearts. So we need another two aces from the deck. We'll shuffle the cards and we'll give them a little cut. Like so. Here we go. And the next one should pop out. I think. If I cut to the centre here, we take out the next ace, which is... that's a king. Some of you can't see that, but that is a king, isn't it? So would you blow on the king? There we go. Ace. So I want you to get someone else to sign that ace for me, if you could. This little girl here. She's signing it. I like it when there's... I normally do a lot of men's breakfast, and occasionally I do women's breakfast. And I like it when it's mixed. It's fun, isn't it? Well done. It's great. Okay. You're going to help me find the last ace. So would you say stop?
Stop.
Cut the cards here. Push forward. There is the last ace. I'm just going to push it in and ask you to push it in the center. Hello?
That was quick.
Would you take that last ace and would you get one more person to sign it? I'll keep hold of these three. The gentleman here is signing it. Sir, would you put your bank details on it as well? That just helps me later on. Yeah, that's fine, sir. Just remember, I do the gags. Comedy's all about timing. Don't you hate it when someone's funnier than you are? It's annoying, isn't it? Thank you, sir. Thank you. Great. Lovely. Sorry. Right. Thank you very much. Give him a round of applause. Four cards by signed by 4 different people. And I love having fun with cards and doing different things. So what I'd like to do is ask a few people to come up and help me now. And you'll see why I start off just doing straight tricks, and then you'll see where I'm going in my story. But I'd like this gentleman who just signed that card, sir, would you just come up on stage here and help me for a second? And I want you to, if you can, I'll just move this over for a second. I'd like you to just stand here and turn both hands face up. Yeah? And there. There. Are you a Royal Marine? Are you a bootneck?
No, what makes you think that?
You'll watch that. Right, come over here. Right, just stand there a second. Right, I also need someone else to help me. The gentleman with a look of indifference, sir. You, sir. Yeah, sorry. Sorry to wake you. Would you come up as well? Come forward here, if you can. About there. That's fine. And this gentleman here. Sir, what's your name?
Roger.
Hi, Roger. Would you come up here for me? Pull your sleeves up. I want you to be exactly the same as this guy here. Bring your arms up. Yeah, just come forward here, Roger. About there. That's fine. And I need someone, this guy here, you sir, yes sir. I know he's trying to avoid my eye for a second there, but I got it in the end. I want you to stand here, if you can, pull your sleeves up. And both hands face up. No, that's fine.
I want to my watch.
No, I'm not going to steal that, I promise. And just bring your hands forward here like that. Okay, that's fine. And I need one more person, this gentleman here, sir. Yeah, yes, yeah. Sir, you were in a daze, sir, so I thought I'd sharpen you up a bit. Would you come up as well and help me? And pull your sleeves up. Okay, and we're just going to get you about the same height as each guy here. That's about right. Okay, now, you've got 4 guys with 4 hands like that. Each one of you drop your right hand and bring your left arm like that and then turn it over. And under each watch is a folded card. And if you take your cards out, you'll see that those 4 cards are all signed and should be the signatures of the 4 people at the beginning of my routine. So could you take your watch, the card out? You've got a card under your watch there. Under there. Yeah. And could you lift them up and let everybody see? 4 cards, all signed. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much, sir. No problem. Okay. So that's a little illustration of some of the stuff that I used to do. I'd like to show you now an illusion. Now, would you like to see an illusion? I'm underwhelmed by your enthusiasm. I know indifference when I see it, ladies and gentlemen. What's interesting is I was going to bring my largest illusion because I used to do touring. And I thought, well, I can't get it through the door. So I brought my smallest illusion. And it's the illusion of the rope that goes through the body. So here we go. So we're going to take the rope, and you'll notice it should look like it's going through the body. Is it going through? How about now? Does it look like it's going through the body? Come on, is it me? Am I the only one that's getting excited about this? Okay. Wow, how's he do that? Ah, you're warming up a bit. That's great, isn't it? All right, one last thing, and then I'm going to move on to a few little thoughts. I need a lady's wedding. Have you got a ring? One of the ladies? This lovely lady here. Hello, madam. Oh, no, you look just like my sister. Have you got a ring I could borrow?
No.
Has this lady got one? Have you got a... What do you mean, no? You got a ring on your hand? What's wrong with you? Anyone got a ring? Have you got a ring I can borrow? Can I borrow one? Would you come up with me? Come up here. I wouldn't normally get one of the other ladies up because they seem shy, but you seem like fun. You'd like to come up. Okay, stand here. Hi, nice to meet you.
Good morning.
Hi, nice to meet
Good
you.
Segment.
Now, I don't believe in star signs at all. I never do that. So, but you look like a caesarean. It's a joke. All right, so, it's rude to ask a lady her age.
Mm-hmm.
So how heavy are you? That's great. Right, can you turn that off? Thank you so much. Lovely. And could you turn your right hand face up for me and put that on there? Now, I need to borrow a note off someone. 5 or a 10, better with a 50. Anyone got any money?
My husband's got the money.
Your husband's got the money, yeah. He's got a few bob, has he, this boy? He's got a few bob, she says, this fella.
I have the ring back, though.
Thank you so much, sir. Just remember, yours is a non-speaking part. Would you turn your left hand up for me, madam? Lovely. Got lovely hands, haven't you? Just like my builder. Now watch carefully. Did you know that in every 10 that is fake, there's always a little piece of red silk? The government has told me to take it to the police station as soon as I find it. I'll do that tomorrow, sir. On your behalf. All right, that's real silk. Yeah, oops. I wasn't feeling well, but I'm picking up. Oh, dear me. All right, so look, what we do is we place the silk through the ring and the ring into the note, like that. We push it straight in and blow. It now spins around the room and it lands, you sir, it lands in your back pocket. Have a look. The left one. But it doesn't stay there very long. Another one that looked like he was dozing off there. And it reappears back here. You like this, don't you? I know. It's good on stage, isn't it? Yeah. Alright, now watch. I'm going to push that in there. Like that. Push that right down into the note. Yeah? Push it in. There we go. Now, if this doesn't work, there's a deposit if it goes wrong. Now, all the time here, did you feel anything? That's because nothing's happened, but now it should. And if I look here and open it, you'll see there's a silk in there. You see? And if I take that silk out of there, you'll see there is, in fact, a ring.
Very good. Thank you very much indeed.
Not at all. Please. Thank you. All right, so I've done a little bit of entertainment for you, hopefully. And that was my job for many years. In fact, 25 years as a professional, what you'd call a magician. I was the chaplain to the Magic Circle and the Inner Magic Circle. And in fact, the new president is a very, very good friend. He's just been voted on Monday night. Two of my friends went for it. One of them got it. And it's great to sort of mix in those sort of circles. And how did I get involved with becoming what I would call someone that follows Jesus? Because it's quite a confusing thing when you talk to people about what is a Christian. Let me tell you what a Christian is not. A Christian is spelt C-H-R-I-S-T-A-I-N. Christian, right? Now, someone who follows Jesus is technically a Christian. But if you take Christ out of Christian, you get Ian. Following Ian is not what being a Christian is all about. It's about following Christ. So who is this person of Christ? I was one of those blokes when I grew up that used to hear about these Jesus-like stories about Jesus. And in my head, I used to imagine this bloke with a white cloak and like sheep. And like really sweet clouds and stuff. I don't know about you. And I was thinking, well, that's great. And it sounds like really nice, good moral stories. But it wouldn't suit my lifestyle. And quite right. I was joined the Royal Marines at 17 in the commandos. And has anyone seen that is it Channel 4 series on the commandos? The commando training that's been on recently? Did anyone see it? So it went through the whole of the training for the Royal Marines. And I would say I was probably an average Marine. I wasn't a great soldier. I wasn't a bad soldier. I guess when you get put in front of where people are shooting at you, you suddenly become better. Your training gets better. You get better at what you do. But, you know, I was posted to the Mountain Arctic Warfare. And so I did 5 Arctic winters in Norway. I'm going to use your tenor, don't worry, for an illustration. So I did 5 Arctic winters in Norway. I remember one time I was training to be an instructor. So I was what's called a military ski teacher, MST. And I was training to get better at my skills. And we had these guys called MLs, mountain leaders, and their job was to train me and help me. And they said to me, Tim, we want to monitor you bringing in some guys from A to B. And as it happened, it was a whiteout. And I just joined the unit, but a couple of years before, they'd lost 120 Norwegians in an avalanche. So we used to work above the tree line in the Arctic. And it was, you know, they say it's about, I mean, I experienced about minus 67 once out there, but that wasn't on exercise. That was just a weekend. But the average was about minus 10, minus 20. And this one guy had heard that the year before, someone had just fallen behind in a whiteout and just faded away and went to sleep and died. So this young guy came to me and said, are we going to die? I said, well, I know, because it was a whiteout, the wind was blowing, the snow was falling. It can fall about half a foot an hour if it's heavy snow. So I said to him, well, no, we're fine. We've got our training. The wind was blowing. He's speaking in my ear. And I said, we're all right, because I know where we're going. So I checked the map. I know how to navigate this, you know. And before I show you this, can anyone point to where north is? Does anyone know where north is in the room? Where's north? Yeah, it's not up there, sir. Okay. North. Yeah, well, north is that way. It is that way. And the reason why we know that is because we have something to give us direction, don't we? Something to help us navigate. And I said to him, it doesn't matter what the wind's doing. We're fine. It doesn't matter what the weather's doing. We've got this. So our compass, two or three of us, and we pace ourselves. We'll estimate how far we're going and where we're going. And as it happened, we got to within about 50 metres, which isn't bad, of where we needed to go. But it started making me think a little bit about what life would be like if I didn't know what direction I was going in. Because I think direction is really important. Now, I meet a lot of people, and I met a lot of people who don't know where they've come from, they don't know why they're here, and they don't know where they're going. And I was one of those people. So I brought my green beret. This is what it was all about for me. It's 17. I joined at 17. Got my green beret. Now, I think this bloke's a Marine. Are you an ex-Marine? Is he an ex-Marine? Are you an ex-Bootney? Are you? It's just... Okay, because I knew he was military. He had that bearing about him. Anyway, so it's like he'll understand. You know, in the army, they break you down at some point. I remember coming back from that and seeing other incidents where guys were involved. Now, the average guy in Afghanistan or woman, in some places, was seeing more action in a week than we saw in 5 years. Because my job was to fight in the Cold War. Our Russians were our enemy. So it's a very different war nowadays. But when I got back, and I remember going to Northern Ireland and firing the first round of the tour, where we were in a cul-de-sac getting firebombed by these guys who were representative of the guys that, you know, were trying to cause disorder in the peace process. And I remember thinking, you know, if one of these hits me, I could die. Petrol bombs, we were just throwing them at us, and our legs used to go on fire, and you used to have to get guys to put them out and stuff. And it got me thinking about the bigger questions in life. So I remember getting out, I got involved with the ski industry, and then I was doing magic as a hobby, and I got into magic, doing tricks like I did for you today. And one day I remember I was lying in bed thinking, at that time I worked for McLaren F1, I was the main magician for Bernie Eccleston in the Paddock Club, and I worked all the car companies. But then McLaren said, no, we want you to work exclusively for us. So I worked with them. I used to interview the drivers. I've been the main magician with two main guys at Arsenal for 20 years. So I've did every game for Arsenal, every home game in the VIP hospitality. And then I used to interview the celebrities and stuff. And then I worked for every major company in London, all the big banks, all the cities, and that was it. And I was earning good money. And yet I'd go home feeling empty. I remember one time I lived with a guy of Home and Away. because I had a manager who managed all the Home and Away and Neighbours people in London. Now, I'm not going to ask anybody who watches Home and Away here, because some people just won't put their hand up. That's right. But this guy was on £10,000 a week in 1993. And he used to come home, we were in pantomime together, and he used to come home crying at night. And I'd say to him, why are you so upset? And he'd said, because there's something missing. There's like a longing. And I'm trying to fill it with cocaine, I'm trying to fill it with women. I said, I know that longing, but I'm not trying to fill it with those things. I'm trying to fill it with success. And I don't know what it is, but I said, you're ruining it for me because you've got everything I want. You're famous. Now, if you're not happy, what chance have I got? So I eventually moved out, got my own place. And I remember driving past churches and seeing all these different churches and thinking, I don't know the difference between a Baptist, a Methodist. What does it mean? So I knocked on this door. It's like a vicar's dream, isn't it? This bloke who's not had a breakdown. Because people always say, you must be a Christian because you've had a breakdown. Well, you must have been Christian because you were in depth of crisis. Well, actually, God, technically, if you believe in God, and we do here, although I'm aware there might be guests who don't, he does use crises to get us to think about the bigger things in life. But I wasn't. And I said, look, have you got any courses on God? I said, I need something like Christianity for Dummies. I said, I've got no idea what I'm talking about. So he said, yeah, there's a course called Alpha. I said, right, tell me, is it free? He goes, no, it's free. You get a meal. I said, any girls on it? Lots of girls. Turned up and it's full of all these retired ladies. But what I needed was love, not lust. Because I've been searching for girls, gadgets and gold. And I needed love. I didn't. And I was brought up by a woman. My mum and dad divorced at 11. And I had a woman that nurtured and then disciplined. And I was confused about how to have an intimate relationship. So I thought intimacy was about sex. So I'd have a relationship of, and when it got to the point of having intimacy, I'd move on because I didn't understand that it had nothing to do with that. They're together, but actually real intimacy can be a spiritual intimacy and emotional intimacy, not just linked to the physical. So I did Alpha and I got involved with stuff, started doing prison work because that's the only place they felt they could handle an ex-Marine. And in prison, I felt pretty safe. I was with all these blokes and women, and I felt at home, really. And what was interesting was I eventually got ordained. And I'm a very dysfunctional leader. And I say to people, don't follow me, just follow Jesus. And I focus on the person of Jesus. And on that course, I learned three things, which I'm going to illustrate with a few little tricks for us. I learned three things. And those that follow Jesus here can remember these, and it'll hopefully encourage you. Because I want to do a few things while I'm here. One, hopefully I will uncover things that you have forgotten about, but you knew. So I'll uncover things you've forgotten about that you knew. This is for the Christians here. Or I will underline things you already know. Or I'll unveil things that God wants to reveal to you. And for those that don't know Jesus, and I'm aware that I speak at lots of different events where there's both kinds, and that's what it's about, bringing speakers like me in. Hopefully, I will help you understand a bit more about who you are as a person and what your purpose in life is. Now, what's interesting, I found three things. I found forgiveness, friendship, and a future. What does forgiveness look like? It's a bit like this, really. What is this, sir? Who is it gave me the money? I know you know, sir. How about if I take it and fold it and unfold it, and you'll notice it changes into a 50. Unfortunately, this is not a real 50. It says toy specimen. So I'm too tight to put a real 50 in. It's not real. What is real? What is real? I want to challenge us to think about what is perspective. If I take this and fold it back again, and just blow, changes back. To 10. This is really just a piece of paper. What gives it its validation? The government. What makes it real? The government makes it real because the government says, I promise to pay the bearer £10. So it's just a piece of paper, but our perspective gives it reality. The government says, when you spend this piece of paper, it means something. So if I crush it, does it still have its value? Yeah. It's currency. And its worth is still the same. What about if I call its names like you're stupid, you're ugly, you're worthless, you'll never be anything. You're a failure. You're pathetic. Names I've actually called myself. Because we're actually harder on ourselves than they are on others, aren't we? Have you ever gone out the shower, looked at yourself and your wobbly bits and gone, you look gorgeous? You don't. You might think your nose is too big. You don't look at it, you go, oh, I love your nose. Or your bum's saggy. You go, oh, I love my saggy bum. You don't. You say you're ugly, don't you? Or you're fat. But that's not intrinsically who you are. More than that. See, the Bible tells us that God made us in his image, so intrinsically in every human being there's something so valuable and so special, so majestic and supernaturally made, because God is supernatural, so wonderful, that we only criticize his workmanship. Really, we are amazing because we have something of God in us. And let me tell you about this. No matter what I do to it, it's still worth £10. Even if it's grubby. And there's people here that might be feeling grubby. Followers of Jesus or not. There might be people here who have been crushed or called names or lied to. But no matter what you've had done to you, you'll always be precious in the eyes of God. You'll always have value in the eyes of God. Because it's God that values human beings more above anybody else. And I learned to value myself. And the road to that was in the road to forgiveness. I realized I held ill will to many people, including myself. And I learned on the course I had to forgive myself. Because intrinsically I'm not a good person. I want to do the things I shouldn't do. I want to get in my car and say I'm a better driver than other people when they whiz past me and stick my nose out as if I'm superior. I do that stuff. And God says it's okay. Just own up to it. So I realized I had to forgive myself. Then I had to let go of ill will to others. And then I had to man up and say to God, look, if you exist, I'm really sorry. I don't know why I've done the things I've done. But if you exist, I'm sorry. Can we start afresh? I learnt forgiveness. Then I learnt friendship. I'm going to give you that back at the end, so is that okay? Do come and get it though, won't you? Let me just make this point about forgiveness, actually. Forgiveness is, for many of us now, and if you are a follower of Jesus, I say follower of Jesus because, you know, it's like Christmas, isn't it? We're coming up to Christmas. People think Christmas is all about presents. When I say Christmas is about Christ, if you take Christ out of Christmas, you get M&S. Christmas is not about M&S. It's about Jesus, isn't it? It's about love and family. So look, I'm going to take this. Just imagine that this is all the things that you regret doing, all the things that you feel that you've done wrong, things that you have buried or hurts others have done to you. And what you do is you pour it into God's love. You say, God, take it off me. I don't want to be burdened with this anymore. And you pour it in. And it goes straight into his hands. And then he deals with it. It's gone. That's how it works. It's quite hard to explain. I learned forgiveness. How are you in the area of forgiveness? How are you in the area of forgiving yourself? Did you get up this morning and call yourself names? I used to hate it that my hair was falling out. Now I spend all day brushing it and I forget to put it on. Friendship with God, my second point. What's that look like? I remember once the Marines on week 14, the sergeant picked something up on a parade and he said to me, Tim, every half an hour you have to go to the guard room in a different uniform. You will be inspected each and every time. Every time you fail, any point you fail on, you have 10 press-ups. I was going up there doing 70 press-ups a time every half an hour in a different rig. It was for 24 hours. I got 12 hours in. I thought, I've had enough of this. I didn't think they could break me, but they broke me. It's just had enough. I had enough of the rubbish of having to do it. What carried me? The boys saw it was a tough one. And the lad said, every time you go up, one of us will help you get dressed through the night. We'll go out with it. Every press-up you do, one of us will do it with you. You're not alone. Suddenly, it was fun. Friendship with God is like that. He watches your back. He journeys with you. It's not, you're not alone. I used to go and do these driving jobs, speaking as a magician at events, doing as a Christian, but speaking at events. And when I drive by myself, the journey seems twice as long. When someone's in the car, it seems twice as short. It's the same journey. When you journey with God, it's not the same as journeying alone. And I realized that I had meaning, significance, security, self-worth in friendship with God. It's a completely different thing. And I realized it takes courage beyond anything I've ever known to trust that actually God's in control and I can lay down my rifle in a way and let him watch my back like a sentry. Friendship with God. I remember in the Royal Marines when I joined, the lads had just got back from the Falklands. And I joined this troop, there were all these rugsy soldiers. You can imagine, can't you? I've just come out of training. And they didn't give me a bed for a couple of months. And I used to sleep on the floor. And the fourth day in, one of the lads had just been mentioned in dispatches for bravery in the Falklands. He said, Tim, it's not right that you're on the floor. Have my bed, I'll sleep on the floor. I realised that Christianity is about going the extra mile for people. It's about doing things, the unexpected, and watching their back. Now, there's a lot of people who aren't Christians who do that. But that's what's expected of us. Why? Well, it's a bit like this. You know, heaven's this perfect place, and God says, I want you in here with me, but if you've ever done one thing wrong, you become like unclean. So therefore, what I have to do is I have to do like a clean-up job on you. Now, in the old days, I don't know why God chose the Jewish people, or the Israelites, as they call it in the Old Testament, but they had a way of laying their hands on an animal. The animal would take the wrongdoing. The animal would be sacrificed as a way of punishing it for the person's wrongdoing. But ultimately, it doesn't work on the heart. It just works on the consequences. So I think God came up with this plan of saying, well, what I'll do is I'll do one act of where all humankind lays their hands on one thing, Jesus in this case, and then when he dies in their place, I'll send what's called my spirit in their hearts, and it'll live in their hearts. And rather than doing things, I'll motivate them to do the right thing, and I'll make them more like me. I'll live in them. Now that didn't make sense to me until I experienced it. And it was like my friend said, you're like a different person. And I want you to imagine that anyone here do Rubik's Cubes? Yeah? I want you to imagine that this Rubik's Cube is all the people in this room. We're all different, aren't we? We're all complex. And yet, when I went on the Alpha course, I had a lot of questions and I started following Jesus. It still wasn't right for a few years. It didn't make sense. It's an ongoing journey. But then what happens is after a little while, things started making sense. I started putting things into compartments. And my life, the meaning and direction started, I started understanding it more. And then I became a light for others. Not bad, that, is it, eh? Not bad, is it? £200 and I get a 10-second clap. That's great, isn't it? So, if God exists, wouldn't it be amazing to have his back, to have him have your back? It's all we want, really, isn't it? We want to know we're not alone and someone's watching our back. And the scriptures tell us that God loves us even more than our parents because he knew us in the womb. He was right there. And he lives outside of time, so therefore everything that happens to us, he's aware of. And he says that when we pray, it can influence decisions. When we pray, coincidences happen, and when we don't, they don't. Interesting, isn't it? God wants us to pray because he wants to have a greater influence in our lives. But what's interesting is he says, when we're born, I give you free will. So free will means I won't interfere in your choice. I won't make you love me. So that's why God won't make us have a relationship with him. I can't say to my wife, you'll love me. Can you imagine it? Ladies, I wouldn't dare. I say, darling, do you love me? And if I'm doing well that day, no. But she says, I love you. I can't make her, and I wouldn't want to. God doesn't make us love him, we choose to. But if we choose to, we get everything, all his riches. It's interesting, isn't it? So, I'm going to try this illustration. I want this lovely little girl to help me. Would you help me? Would you come forward?
I don't want to, I'm shy.
Would you like to help me? Come on, come up. Give her a round of applause, she comes up. Hello. You stand there for me. There you go, you stand on my right there. Shake hands. I'll shake out this one. Nice to meet you. What's your name?
Dharma.
You're very friendly, aren't you? Relax. That's good. Now, look, what's your name again?
Dharma.
Where are you from?
Hungry.
Are you hungry? Okay, look. Now, look. I have two pieces of paper here. Ready? If I rip them like this, how many have I got now?
Four.
Well done. And now I have six. Now, it's a bit like this. Friendship is having the sort of relationship with someone that even when your life is in pieces, it can help you see hope. Right? So just squeeze that. I've ripped that paper into pieces. Right? And sometimes you feel crushed, as I say, or you feel that everything's going well for you, but we all know people that might have tragedy. We might have children we're worrying about, or we have relatives with cancer or illness or something. Everybody's marked by knowing suffering, even if it's not themselves, it's others. And at some point we find that we can't make sense of it. But when we journey in friendship with God, what happens is, not only does he make sense, he makes us feel better and helps us through those times and puts a smile on our face. Thank you. Great for that. My final tip, because I'm coming into land. Am I going on too long? Are you okay? You want more? Forgiveness. Forgiveness. Friendship. Future. If a man lives 70, the Bible says 70 years. It says a man, but it means mankind. Then we're doing well to live 70 years. Gentleman over there, how are you, sir? Behind you. How old are you, sir?
84.
He's on a bank holiday Tuesday. You see, Monday in a week could be 10 years. Tuesday, by the time you get to Sunday, you're on 70 years, aren't you? If you're on a Monday, you're on a bank holiday. If you're on a Tuesday, you're on a bank holiday Monday. Bank holiday Tuesday, 84. You've done well, 84. The average, it says a man's average life is 70, could be about 70 years. The question is, there might be people in here who are in their 50s or 60s. And I would say to you, how's your weekend looking? If you don't know Jesus, how's your weekend looking? Because we don't all get a bank holiday Monday, do we? Or a bank holiday Tuesday. When are you going to make the decision? Because faith is it's a process in a crisis. At some point, you've got to make that decision if it's true. Because C.S. Lewis said, and you've probably heard it quoted here, if it's not true, then it doesn't matter. But if it is true, it's the most important thing in the whole world to discover. And we need to know where we're going. I gave someone the last rites last week. I kneeled down in this woman's bed. She doesn't go to church. I said to her, is there anything you want to confess? And I saw a daughter shuffle out the room. Oh, godly stuff. Whoa. I said, I'll be with you guys in a minute. I held her hand and she was on morphine. She whispered. And at that point, she's not going to say, I wish I'd worked more. She's not going to say that. It's not what she said. It's not what she said. Hope for the future. Now, they say that when you follow Jesus, when you become a Christian, and by the way, I've been telling people what it means to be a Christian. At the end of this, I'm going to say a prayer, and if you say that prayer, you'll become a Christian. So I'm just letting you know so you don't think I'm mad. And if you are a Christian, I'm going to say a prayer to help you be a better Christian. And to be a better Christian, you don't do anything, you just let God in more. Yeah? It's quite interesting, isn't it? All right, so some people say to me, well, someone said to me, I had a bloke the other day, came to my house to check the electric. The electric was going in the vicarage. And he goes, well, I think being a good person's being a Christian, isn't it? I went, so does that make you closer to God? You're, yeah, when I do good things, I'm closer to God, and when I'm not, I'm over here. I said, I got a surprise for you, my friend. I show him this. I said, what happens is, it's not about what you do or don't do, it's who you let in. And what happens is, you let Jesus in, and you and him become one. That's how it works. And then he lives in your heart, and he motivates you. And inspires you to be the person you know, in your own strength, you cannot be. Hope for the future is knowing life as we know it has direction. Is knowing there is a purpose, that God has a plan for each and every one of us. In knowing at any age, young or old, God has a plan. I met this lady, she said, I'm far too old to be of any use to you, Vicar. I said, why? She said, well, I just sit at home. I said, wonderful. You've got all the time in the world to pray. I'm going to send you a prayer list. Pray. You have now become the most potent, most powerful person in the whole church. Be careful what you pray for. Hope is about receiving the gift that Jesus offers. When you receive a gift, you ask yourself three things. Who's it from? Who's it to? What's it for? Is that right? I like gifts. Some flowers I thought I'd bring with me. The gift is from Jesus to you, and it's an invitation to the greatest party you could ever be in. It's good, this, isn't it? Hey? Keep going all day, you know. Final thing. Just the land. The future hope of mankind is in a relationship with the person of Jesus Christ. If you don't know him, I think you need to. It's the singularly most important question for any human being. Are we created? And if we are, who is that person? And why do they want to know us? The gift of Jesus is our hope. And I said, when you receive a gift, you ask, who's it from? What's it for? Who's it to? The gift that you have was purchased by him. God sees us as clean because Jesus says, I've cleaned them up. That's a gift. It was purchased by him. It's priceless. You cannot buy it. No one can buy it for you. It's permanent. No one can take it off you. Ever. And it's precious. Because it's uniquely for you. And it's practical. Because it's just for you. God meets each one of us uniquely in our own way. So what I'd like to do is say a prayer. If I can. I'm going to show you three silks. I'm going to show you a blue one to represent your past, a green one for your present, and a yellow one for the future. And what I'll do is I'll place them in one at a time, like so. And the red one, that will be Jesus. And what happens is, as we say this prayer, he starts making sense of the tapestry of our life. So that when we ask the bigger questions, he's involved and we see his hand in everything. Yeah? So if you want to become a Christian, I'm going to pray right now. Because you can do it any time you like, but I'm going. You'll have to get someone else to pray with you once I'm gone. But if you want to become a Christian, this is your chance. And I'll pray for you, and then I'm going to pray for our other friends here. So why don't we close our eyes? Now, might be no one wants to become a Christian, that's fine. But if you do, I want to pray for you, and I'm praying for that one person here. So why don't we just indulge me for that one person. And echo in your heart, if this is you, echo it in your heart. After me, but don't speak it out loud. Father in heaven, forgive me all I've done wrong to myself. Forgive me everything I've done wrong to others. And forgive me for what I've done to you. I'm sorry. If you can think of things that you regret, just bring that to mind. God's big enough to deal with regrets, sorrows. Please come into my life with that spirit that lives within me, your spirit. Inspire me to be what I cannot in my own strength. Help me become more like Jesus. Thank you that you provided the way for me to know God, Jesus. And I turn to you now as my Saviour. Amen. If you've said that prayer, you are a Christian. And I honour you. For those that, and do let someone know, by the way. If you're a follower of Jesus already, let me pray for you. Father, I pray for those that follow Jesus that they would know more of what it means to travel that narrow road, that they don't run down rabbit holes getting distracted and wasting time in good things but not best things. I pray for your anointing and your favour and your influence upon those people, that they would be a light for good in this world. In Jesus' name, amen. And finally, if any of you are sick, I want to pray for your healing, because Jesus said that he wants to heal people. I want to heal people, but I have no power, but I can pray in his name. So if you're sick, in any area of sickness, put your hand on your heart. And if you know anybody who's sick, and you want me to pray for them, put your hand on your heart. So technically, everyone in the room knows someone who's sick, that is ill. So Lord, I pray for everyone here who's got an illness, who wants healing. I pray in Jesus' name that you would be healed right now in the authority and blood of Jesus. That's all it is. I just pray in his name. And second, Lord, each one of us that has our hands on our heart, for those that we know, whether it's a child or adult, friend, parent, whatever it is, whoever it is that's sick, I pray that you would heal them and comfort them and give them hope in Jesus' name. Amen.